Today's Old Testament reading is found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is found in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke." We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation may rise. The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I've never preached from a wheelchair before. How would you define family? By DNA? Well, that would work. But hopefully, in a family, there is more to the family than just DNA. Hopefully there would be a bonding between the members of the family that would develop over time. Members of a congregation constitute a church family because of their shared beliefs and practices. Or we might think of a family as being citizens of the same nation. This last week, we observed the 80th anniversary of D-Day. I felt pride as an American citizen. I had two uncles who fought in World War II, but even if I hadn't had any relatives that fought in World War II, I still would have been proud to have been a part of the American family. There are other examples of family. I suppose we might say people who have had a shared and common experience feel like family to one another. In our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus redefines what a family is when he says, looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Which family member is omitted from that list? Father. Isn't that kind of interesting? And here's what I think. I'm not sure about this, but at that time in Jewish society, it was an extremely patriarchal and hierarchical society. So I think by omitting father in identifying his family, his spiritual family, Jesus is implying that we are all equal, that we are all in the same boat together as sinners. We're all wounded. We're all broken. We all fall far short of the glory of God. And all of us equally need the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the salvation that comes from God. The first thing I want to say about being a member of the Jesus family is that it is first and foremost a matter of pure privilege. There isn't anyone who earns a place in the Jesus family by what they do. It is a gift. The Apostle Paul makes that very clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where he says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And in another place, Paul talks about how we are adopted into the Jesus family. Now, just for a moment, think about the people that Jesus had an affinity for during his earthly public ministry and who he invited into his family, his spiritual family. It was quite an astonishing variety of people. fishermen, tax collectors, Roman soldiers, lepers, prostitutes, beggars, Jews, Gentiles. He would even welcome his enemies. That was the family of Jesus. You know, and it kind of makes me wonder, how big is my family? How far out would I say my family extends? Jesus said that whoever does the will of God is a member of his Jesus family. Now, a number of those people whom I just referenced from the Gospels were not exactly people who were always doing the will of God. But nevertheless, Jesus welcomed them into his family. Isn't that something? He didn't make it a prerequisite to be invited into his family. Because I think it's once we've been invited into his family, then we learn about what it means to be doing his will. And we do God's will simply when we live like Jesus lived. That's a tall order. There is no greater challenge on earth than that one. And we could summarize how Jesus lived by referring to the double love commandment. Right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love all of God's creatures. You shall love your neighbor. All the creatures that God made. You know that one of the great, perhaps the greatest, early church leaders, St. Augustine, who lived somewhere around 360 to 430 AD, said that the double love commandment is the essence of the gospel. That might sound kind of strange to our ears, because when we think of what the essence of the gospel is, we think it is all about Jesus suffering and dying on the cross and rising again. Yes, that's the gospel. But just for a moment, consider this about St. Augustine. He didn't convert to Christianity until later in life. And before that, he was a pretty wild guy. And he broke about every commandment you could break, and then some, and was proud of it. And then he came to a point in his life where he realized that that's not a good thing to do. That's not cool. He was not exactly doing God's will. But then he repented, he turned his life around, or the Holy Spirit turned his life around. And thinking about his former way of life, we can understand how then he said that loving God above all things and loving all of God's creatures constitutes the essence of the gospel, because if your faith means anything to you, it has an impact on the way you live. If your faith in Jesus Christ doesn't affect the way in which you live your life, the way you make your decisions, the way you go about your everyday lives, then what is the content of that faith? It's hollow. It's empty. I think that's what St. Augustine meant. Love for God and all of God's creatures is not some sort of free-floating desire. It's how we see how God's commands provide structure and direction for love to follow. And we know from our own daily experience that doing God's will is not easy. The Old Testament lesson from Genesis 3 demonstrated how our first parents fell into sin And then when they were confronted by God with the reality of what did they, of their sin, what did they do? They blamed someone or something else. They passed the buck. None of you would ever do that, right? Never. We take responsibility for our sins. And we know that God forgives us, and he gives us a new start. And we know that Jesus fulfilled perfectly God's will by keeping the law perfectly in our stead. He did what we are unable to do. There is a hymn verse, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? That's unusual words, but we understand the sentiment. When I know that I do not deserve God's love and grace and mercy, nevertheless, I claim it and I receive it. In the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that God's will is done according to the way God wants it done. But what we are praying for in that petition is that we might do God's will, that God's will might be done in our lives. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and minds so that we have the desire to do God's will, so that doing God's will becomes part of our daily decision-making, our values, our day-to-day lives, our words and deeds, as close to being spontaneous as possible, because it's just the way we are. It's who we are. I think doing God's will means expanding the boundaries of family. I have been so blessed in my lifetime by the families that I have been part of. My family of origin, the family that I married into, the family that Judy and I were given, our daughters, our son-in-laws, our granddaughters, and even our granddogs and grandcats. I've been blessed by the church families I have served. And I'm thankful to be able to add Christ the Vine to that list. These are all gifts from God. I have to tell you a quick little story that happened during our trip. So I broke my foot on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday, Judy? Wednesday, May 29th. So on Monday morning, the following Monday morning, we were driving to my brother's place in a little town called Aledo, Illinois. And just as we were about to enter the city limits, either a nail or a screw punctured the right front tire. Pulled into a gas station as quickly as I could, and by the time we got out of the car and looked, that tire was pancaked. Oh, now what do we do? And just at that moment, a guy comes riding up on a Cub Cadet lawn tractor, pulling a wagon. And in the wagon was a beat-up old lawnmower. And he comes up to me and he says, "Would you like to have some help?" I said, "I sure would. Would you like me to change your tire and put on your spare?" "I sure would." So that's what he did. And I thought maybe he worked for the city because, you know, he's pulling this beat-up old mower in a wagon and he was driving a Cub Cadet lawn tractor anyway. I said, "Do you work for the city?" He said, "No." He just goes around town helping people that need help. I would say he was about 70 years old. So he was a younger guy. After he was done, I had a $20 bill. And I said, and his name was Bill, and he said, "People call him Wild Bill." I said, "I'd like to give you a $20 bill for helping us." "I don't want it," he said. "I was glad to help you, and now I'd like you to help somebody else." I felt an affinity to him, like he was part of my family. I always thought that angels had wings, but in this case, an angel came riding on a Cub Cadet lawn tractor. Being a member of God's family, the Jesus family, means that we do his will. Practice random acts of kindness. It's what God wants us to do. And may our families grow to take in more and more. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.